portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning. It is recorded for us in the book of James, chapter 1, beginning with the second verse. This is our second lesson for today, this 12th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, what are some situations in your life in which you celebrate? Parts of your life in which you find joy and happiness? Maybe it's a birthday, a wedding, or a graduation of one of your children or grandchildren. Maybe it's a promotion or a retirement. Maybe your team won the big game. Now, there's many reasons why we rejoice. There's many reasons why we celebrate. There's many reasons in this life why we have joy. But do you have joy when you suffer? When you go through a trial or a trouble in your life, do you celebrate? Do you find any enjoyment in it? Today we see that the Christian finds joy in suffering. So today we ask for wisdom. Wisdom from God, spiritual wisdom. Wisdom to rejoice no matter what the situation. Wisdom to rejoice, yes, even in suffering. The Jewish Christians that James was writing to certainly knew suffering well. Now, they were persecuted because of their faith, scattered throughout the Mediterranean world. They were abused, imprisoned. And less than 20 years or so after James wrote this letter, they would be tortured and thousands upon thousands of Christians were put to death because of their faith. They knew suffering well. And no one likes to suffer, and yet we all do suffer each in our own way. We suffer through physical pain. We get sick. Maybe we're diagnosed with cancer, get into a car accident. We have a stroke. Maybe heart issues. Maybe it's something less serious like a broken leg or a torn ligament. Well, physical pain is never fun. It often requires surgery or months and months of rehab. Of course, we also face emotional pain. Sometimes we face emotional pain because we're persecuted. There's not too often in our country today that we are physically abused because of our faith, but we are emotionally abused, so to speak. Well, they make fun of us. The outside world calls us stupid and gullible and ignorant. Maybe intolerant bigots. They try to convince us to reject the Lord and follow science. To go along with what they as a society has decided is right and noble and sophisticated. Because of our faith, we might lose that promotion or our jobs. Our relatives might disown us. Maybe our friends no longer want to hang out with us. It's not just emotional pain because of persecution we might face. Oh, there's things that keep us up at night. Financial woes, family issues, a loved one gets sick or in an accident. The weight of the world is constantly seen as it's pressing down on our shoulders. We suffer much in this life. No one likes to suffer. We try to avoid pain at all costs. It's never a pleasant experience. And when we suffer, then God often gets the blame. We say to ourselves, isn't He supposed to be all powerful? Doesn't He love me? Can't He take care of this pain? Why is He making me suffer so much? So we come to the conclusion that either He's not all-powerful or He doesn't love you. And doubt creeps into your mind. And then You constantly worry if you're going to have to suffer through this pain and agony throughout the rest of your days. Now, our old Adam complains about suffering. No one likes to go through physical pain. No one enjoys emotional pain. So our old flesh complains about God and doubts His promises. But that's not what our new man does. No, that's not what the Christian does. No, instead of complaining, the new spirit rejoices. The Christian rejoices whenever he suffers, no matter how much he is suffering, what he may be suffering through, or how long it may last. He finds joy in suffering. Not that he's a masochist. Not that he enjoys pain. He doesn't enjoy the feeling of hurt. And yet he finds joy in suffering. Because he knows it's ultimately good for him. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Going through trials and tribulations in our lives leads us to persevere in our faith. It makes our faith stronger. Peter, in the first chapter of his first letter, compares going through trials and troubles in this life as refining precious metals. When you take a gold or silver, for example, and pass it through a fire, it refines that gold and silver. Impurities are removed, and the result is a more pure and stronger metal. Same thing happens with our faith. The end result is a stronger and more pure thing. When you suffer, you realize that this world isn't all it's cracked up to be. That this world and this life isn't all that important, so you lose your grip. You lose your obsession with this life. You look towards what is really important. You look toward God and you look toward His Word. You mature in your faith and it becomes more complete. The impurities are removed by suffering. The end result is a more pure and stronger faith. So you see the benefit in suffering. You see that ultimately, down the road, it is good and beneficial for you and your faith. Your doubt, your flesh may doubt. Your flesh may complain, but your spirit rejoices. So we rejoice even in suffering. Of course, that's easier said than done. It's easier for me to stand up here and tell you that you should rejoice when you suffer. It's easy for someone to tell others what they should do and how they should feel. It's easy for you to tell yourself that when you're going through some trial or trouble in your life, that you will rejoice. But it's completely different when you are in pain. It's completely different when troubles come, when death strikes, when you are going through some sort of suffering. When the rubber hits the road, what will you do? How will you react? It's hard for us to look past the present. If we suffer, we want our suffering over now. We don't like the wait. We want it taken care of immediately, instantly. When we suffer, it's hard to look past that pain. It's hard to look past all the suffering, the torment that we are currently facing. It's hard to look past that to see the future benefit. It takes patience. It takes wisdom. Takes faith. And at times we might have that faith. At times we may suffer through something and we're right on top of it. We know that God will use that as a benefit for us. We're riding high on that wave. but our faith often wavers. Like the waves of the sea, at times we are low. Easily distracted by the waves of the world, the wind and the waves come toward us and our faith wavers, blown around like the sea. Like Peter, who was riding high on top of that water until he saw a wave and began to sink. Or the Israelites, who were riding high after they escaped Egypt, only to become terrified and doubt and question God when the world's most powerful army was racing after them. Our faith often wavers. We doubt. So what do we do? Well, we pray to God. As James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to him. When we suffer, we ask God for wisdom. We ask God for spiritual wisdom. That is, we pray to God. We know that He alone can help us. He alone can strengthen our faith. He alone can remove our doubt. So we say along with the father of a demon-possessed boy in Mark chapter 9, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And as James says, when we pray that prayer, it will be given to us. God will answer our prayer when we ask for wisdom. When we pray for that spiritual wisdom, when we pray for a stronger faith, we know that God will give it to us. And how will He give it to us? Well, not just by any means, but by the means of grace, through the gospel and word and the two sacraments. When you suffer, you turn away from the ways of this world. You realize that this life isn't all that important, and what is important is God and His Word. So you turn away from the ways of the world and turn to God and His Word and find comfort and encouragement in His gospel. You see what He has done for you. You see how He's taken care of His children in the past. You are reminded of His promises. And the Holy Spirit will work through that gospel. He will strengthen your faith. And so, when you suffer, you can rejoice. Because as you turn to the gospel in the midst of your suffering, the Holy Spirit will use that and make your faith stronger, more mature, and more complete. It's like God knew what He's doing. It's like God is always in control, that He always has a plan, no matter what. Of course He is. He's always been in control. He's always had a plan. Even when He sent His Son down to this earth, and His Son was hanging on the cross, that was part of Jesus' plan for Him to take all of our sins upon Himself. For Him to suffer the eternal consequences for what we have done wrong, for Him to die and then rise from the dead 3 days later to crush Satan's head and to give us the free gift of eternal life with Him in heaven forever. Christ did that for you, His enemy. And if Christ did that for you, His enemy, what else wouldn't He do? Now, if you were willing to give your friend $1,000 when he was in need, and then your friend showed up at your doorstep and was thirsty, you would probably give him a drink of water. You wouldn't think about it again. The same stands for God. If He has given you the greatest gift, if He has given you His own life, what else wouldn't He give to you? As Paul points out in Romans 8, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things. God gave up His Son for us. His Son gave up His life for us. And if Christ was willing to give up His life for us, then why wouldn't He give us a stronger faith which receives the blessings He won for us, especially when we ask for it? So how foolish we are to doubt. How stupid we are when we complain. How pathetic we fail to turn to His Word. Look at what He has done for us. Look at the salvation He won for us by giving up His life. Look at the rest of the way He has taken care of the world. Remember the promises that God has given. Why do we doubt? Why are we pushed around like the waves of the sea? Why do we let the problems of this world knock us off of our firm foundation? So we pray to God for a stronger faith, for wisdom in seeing the benefit of even suffering. And we know that God will answer us. And it is through that faith, given and strengthened by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, that we will receive the crown of life. As James says in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him." In the end, we'll be in heaven. In the end, no matter what we have to suffer through in this life, we will have a life with our Savior. A perfect life, free from sin, free from the effects of sin, free from pain and toil and trials and sorrow. That's where our earthly trials and troubles lead us. They lead us away from this earthly life toward God. And when we turn to the gospel when we suffer, the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith and makes us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. When you turn to the Word for comfort and strength, your faith is strengthened. And that faith receives the crown of eternal life. We celebrate, we have joy in all sorts of things in this life. But not many celebrate when they suffer. And yet we can. How foolish we are to doubt God. How foolish we are to question Him. So we turn to His Word. We see His power. We see His promises. And so we ask for wisdom. Wisdom to rejoice even in suffering. And know that through a stronger faith, which the Holy Spirit works in us through the gospel, we will receive that crown of life. And that leads us to rejoice. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.